Good afternoon, evening, and welcome. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network at republicbroadcasting.org. Hour one of the broadcast here on this Wednesday, the 17th of January, 2024. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Beyond the Official Narrative. And I have with me my regular Wednesday co-host, Mr. David Scorpio. David, welcome, sir.
Hello, Richard. I am crawling my way through the jungle, but I'm here and ready to go.
I heard you referencing on your broadcast, I think it was the one from this past weekend, maybe, or maybe it was prior, but how 2024 still sounds so futuristic to you, and that there were quite a few, books and films which included that year in the theme, the setting for it. And so,
there's nine science fiction movies that are all dystopian that take place in 2024. So it's a strange number. It really does sound like a science fiction movie that we're living in, and it feels like it sometimes too.
Yeah. I mean, we're not quite there with the space travel, flying cars, hovering vehicles, or the transhumanism, has a way to go yet, but still, in a lot of ways, the dystopian aspect with the technology, and it's fascinating how addicted so many people are to the software, just the interactive and engaged quality of the social media and gaming, and just a preference, to detach from regular interaction. I mean, I'm old enough where I grew up, before all this stuff. I mean, video games existed, Atari, ColecoVision, those earlier ones, the Nintendo. I remember when that first came out, but it was used within reason, I think, by most people, and they had lives, And there's just so much of a false persona for yourself, though, you build up to now. Even the gaming chat rooms and everything, there are these personas just like social media, and nothing is as it's portrayed, right?
I guess so. I don't play video games, but that's what I've heard.
Yeah, that's what I've heard as well. Yeah.
Yeah, but that Noel Harari guy is saying that they're going to deal with the useless eaters by video games and drugs for the useless eaters. So that's their solution of coming from the World Economic Forum, is to give the useless eaters video games and drugs.
Okay. And I mean, even among us in the independent media, though, we can't help but see how most people were rather aptly dubbed sheeple by William Cooper. I mean, a lot of people seem hopeless to ever care about any of these issues, much less, put any attention or time or sacrifice, toward any of it to facilitate any change. And, from those of elite power and finance perspectives, I can see how they can grow a disdain. Really, though, I mean, look how much more the years. I was just thinking about this earlier. I mean, since the COVID lockdown bailout money printing, and then what we've had since then, the war funding and just other various like infrastructure bill, whatever they name some of these other ones. And I mean, at this point, the only thing left, well, I mean, they say that the last thing to, you know, that a tyranny will do is to loot the nation. But isn't there a step after that of killing off most of the inhabitants? Once you've done all the looting, you know, there's pretty much not much anything basically for the average throughout the country, you know, the average family to have taken. Don't they just want more of the land? You know, I mean, these Harari types, these Gates types would feel that the only way they could get more still would be to just feel like, well, we're not consuming anything whatsoever, of course, and that they just have more space without us whatsoever. You know, if they want to have automation allow them to live more fruitful lives, you know, developing humanity in their image, David.
Well, you know, I think the World Economic Forum and those types, they're dreaming a lot of strange dreams that I don't think are going to manifest as easily as they say they are. And, you know, I think a lot of very positive technology has been withheld from us, and we're being handed weaponized technology. So we can live in a very different reality depending on who has the reins of power. But right now, we're heading down a road of weaponized technology and more control. And I don't think, you know, the shots have killed as many people as they hope they would. I think it's going to take time. I think a lot of people are going to end up getting cancer over the long run from those shots. And I believe that a lot of cancer that we already have in this society was introduced through vaccines, beginning with the polio vaccines of the 1950s.
Well, yeah, but I mean, they've accomplished quite a bit collectively with these shots. First of all, they've focused on the white nations, it seems. And I mean, let's face it, places like Africa and India have had so much experimentation with vaccines from, you know, Gates, World Health Organization, what have you. They're rather wary. And they're so much larger in number than the white nations, but they have had the largest success rates as far as the people who have taken the shots in the European, Caucasian majority countries. And if you look at everything combined, I'm saying various blood clots, myocarditis and heart issues, other vital organs, which could, you know, give out earlier on, the immune system being compromised in and of itself, if you're elderly, could be what triggers a domino effect. And then certainly 5 to 10 years down the line, you know, any number of things related to these varying organs of the body. But then on top of that, you have to remember how much we're hearing about infertility issues that this is spreading. I mean, so you combine all that with also a huge amount of infertility, and they've been trying to push these on the youth and the children as well. As long as, you know, you've given at least one of these shots to your child, perhaps it is permanent for, you know, on average. I mean, we don't know the data on any of that, and it'll take a while for any of that to come out, the 5 and 10 year marks, as well as just infertility even longer, right?
Well, that's a big unknown if any of this is permanent. The body does have an amazing ability to repair itself. And I think there's a lot of vaccine fatigue and a lot of vaccine regret. So the new booster shots, not many people are taking them. And I think they've lost a lot of trust with this whole thing. I don't think they're going to have such an easy go at it, convincing people to take more and more shots. I don't think it's going to work very well. Just because, well, I see a lot of trust that's been burned up, and I don't think it's going to come back anytime soon.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, no, I don't disagree with that assessment either. And so, well, I mean, what else do we have out there converging that transcends the war agendas and the political agendas in general? I mean, you see on the people, much like the fallout of these mRNA shots. I mean, it's amazing how much they're still pushing the green agenda. You know, no amount of, I mean, we had, what, 1,100 scientists signing something, what, going back a year or two now, regarding the whole climate agenda being a hoax. That doesn't seem to be enough. More recently, we had another similar with a huge amount signing. It doesn't seem to, you know, have any effect on these policies continuing right along in all these nations. And, you know, of course, it's not sustainable. But, you know, no, people are being punished and fined. You know, it's more extreme in some countries than others at the moment, and even state to state over in the U.S. here. But that'll continue to accelerate. And, I mean, well, how can you really, it's hard to push back against it. I mean, because it's clearly something that people are strong-armed to comply with. But I don't know. It's not really, like I heard they want us, even in the coldest of weather, you know, to reduce consumption of energy in the UK right now. Even with the weather as current, I don't know if they're really acting with any thing other than just suggestion and guilt tripping them, but they're asking them to cut their energy consumption. And I mean, it's really not going to go. I don't know. There's not really much of a way to push back from it, you know?
Well, you know, they've set all these goals for down the road in 2030 and 2035, and none of the goals are reachable. Like to cut carbon in half. I think Joe Biden committed to cut our carbon output in half by 50% by 2030 or something like that. It's not possible. So it's going to come down to whether or not we're going to have politicians that are willing to be so unpopular as to destroy the economy and destroy people's lives. It's going to be a hard push, and then still say we have some kind of democracy. So I think it's going to be a very difficult thing to implement without massive problems from the people, because it is a scam, as you said, and there's no way to decrease carbon output unless they are willing to introduce some new exotic technologies that actually already exist, but they don't want that out into the public sphere for a variety of reasons. They want to keep this whole paradigm of scarcity and, you know, life's very hard. There isn't very much of anything. We're all fighting for a small amount of natural resources. They want to keep that paradigm going. Because they could introduce some exotic technologies that are fairly well known that could transform the whole system. But they don't want to do that. So they're left with trying to implement policies that are going to be very, very unpopular and very detrimental to people's lives. The idea that everyone's going to drive an electric car, it's not possible. There isn't enough power in the power grid to do that. I mean, you don't have to be a mathematician to figure that one out.
And we heard that Biden is considering a ban on natural gas exports to save the climate. And, well, I mean, you know, everyone uses this for different means. There was, let's see, a claim that a study was racist, claiming African populations warmed the earth more with their breath. That one was as absurd as I could find on the whole climate thing. But no, it was not in the UK. I don't know how I got these mixed up. That pressure on people as far as how much they're going to. Because of the grid, you know, they're claiming that it's just too much stress on the grid. But this was actually in Tennessee. They're saying because of this cold blast coming in, Tennessee Valley authorities asked customers to conserve power amid cold blast. And so, the grids are already stressed. Ever since they had this money, this huge amount given to Congress, I don't know who it was given to, various companies, to expand the infrastructure for electric vehicles. They didn't have any increase in this amount of charging stations whatsoever, still to this day since then. I remember seeing that story a couple of weeks ago. And BlackRock invested $4 trillion into this climate agenda, just now, these past months or so here. $4 trillion more into the climate agenda, because they need that to prop it up. So, it's about something far more important than what it claims at the surface as far as, sources of fuel.
Well, it's about the destruction of the economy as we know it. And, it's not going to work when you've got charging stations that take, even the fast charging stations take 40-plus minutes. So imagine the kind of lines they're going to build up. If you have two or three people ahead of you, you're looking at, a 2 or 3 hour wait to get your car charged? It's ridiculous. It's not a workable plan in any way. And, again, they're going to reach a point where trying to implement these ideas are going to be next to impossible and extremely unpopular. So it's going to get very interesting very quickly. They can throw all the money they want at it, but the mathematics don't work out for it.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm no longer in Chicago. I noticed they already had a couple lows that were like minus 15 and a little more commonly like minus like 6 or something recently. And I just saw that there's a lot of issue with these people who've been convinced to have electric vehicles there with this cold weather, this extreme cold. EV owners in Chicago, the Chicago area, have been unable to charge their vehicles with this extreme cold. The frigid temperatures caused the charging stations to become congested with non-charging and abandoned cars, leaving to a challenging situation for owners. Cold weather in general will hurt the ability of electric vehicles to charge properly, requiring the battery to be preconditioned to accept a fast charge. And we know how much, it's like, sometimes in some cases they've calculated recently it could cost more than the car new, as a whole to get a replacement battery.
The battery packs for a Tesla. We'll get this on the back end. I hear the music.
Yeah. Other side. Stick around, folks.
There, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our ease-off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the ease-off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my ease-off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Easeoff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Easeoff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Charles de Gaulle once said, actually, it's difficult to envision in this regard any other criterion, any other standard than gold. Yes, gold, which does not change in nature, which can be made into either bars, ingots, or coins, which has no nationality, and which is considered in all places and all times the immutable and fiduciary value par excellence. So when the question is, why gold? It's simple, my friends. The answer to that question is simply, why not? Like it or not, precious metals will always be the world's reserve currency. Even though nations do not define their currency by their worth in, say, gold, individuals still buy gold and silver to protect themselves from inflation. The more money a nation's central bank pours into the economy, the less valuable its currency, the dollar is, which means the price of everything else rises. $21 up for a bag of dog food. Seeing that the dollar is cheap, that's why the cost of everything goes up. It's because the buying power, the value of the dollar has tanked. It's worth nothing. And yet gold that your family would have owned in 1907 will buy at least the same amount of goods, if not far more. William McPhee once stated, it's extraordinary how many emotional storms one may weather in safety if one is ballasted with ever so little gold. The truth about money, gold versus cash in a crisis, gold, a valuable thing to store, the power of gold in times of crisis. Historical sketch of paper currency. Oh, and beware the ides of rare coin dealers. And Alan Greenspan's speech on gold and economic freedom. How interesting. I'm going to give you gold and silver in 5 easy lessons. Seeking out the most efficient and most secure route to owning gold and converting it into widely accepted currency is the next best thing to enjoying gold-backed currency, my friends. In a world of central bankers hell-bent on devaluing our savings, you need to own private gold standard. Contact me, Jeffrey Bennett at Kettle Moraine Limited, by calling our phone number at 602-799-8214. That's 602-799-8214.
Back, folks, beyond the official narrative here on Republic Broadcasting. Richard Carey with Wednesday co-host David Scorpio. And I want to take a moment to mention to the listeners that we really could use the help right now, support from the RBN listenership with the bills, expenses, and what have you. I mean, not only being rough with the economy in the holiday season, but well, it's one of those times of year, you know. I mean, it's 2 times of year, really, where there's an extra significant amount needed to cover the regular operating expenses. And we just hit one of those. RBN had to pay the biannual bill for the server host for the main website at republicbroadcasting.org last week. And we could really use a little extra help right now. That bill was nearly $2,000 and is due every 6 months. It leaves us at the moment, well, the station, with less than $1,000 in all of the accounts. You know, the board producer manager informed me any funds will be greatly appreciated to get us through the next few weeks here, folks. So, I mean, please keep that in mind, and please help out and know that we have some really great promotions, you know, fundraisers going on as well. This is the last week, exactly last week of the John Stadmiller book drive, for example, and you should get in on that for donations of $100 or more. I just mentioned that you want to be in the fishbowl for the drawing. And this week's book is One Nation Under Israel by Andrew Hurley. Donations of $100 or more taken from November 5th through January 22nd will provide the donor with an opportunity to receive a book previously owned by John Stadmiller. Again, One Nation Under Israel by Andrew Hurley for this final week this year of the John Stadmiller second annual book drive, books from his personal library, previously owned by John. And then, of course, we have the Michael Gaddy, generous donation of this one-of-a-kind the Confederate flag, also the St. Andrew Cross, right, quilt. This beautiful one-of-a-kind quilt that you can get if you are the lucky winner of that drawing. And that's if you donate $250 or more. If you do win the quilt, you'll get a lot of other goodies. RBN mug, T-shirt, bumper, stickers, business cards. And right now you can kill two birds with one stone. But it'll be custom made for the winner, we should point out, this quilt. Right now you could actually kill two birds with one stone and donate $250 or more to enter both the book drive and RBN's simultaneous fundraiser for this quilt. And so, yeah, any way you do your donation, just mention you want to be in on whatever respective drawings, have your name in the fishbowl, be sure to notify. But you have all the info for donations on the website, republicbroadcasting.org. You can go to the donate page and you can find pages rotating in the banner for these fundraisers. But you could use PayPal. You can call the staff at 800-724-2719, extension 3. Or you can mail payable to just the initials RBN if it's money order or check or cash, you know, with some tinfoil or something, conceal. And you can mail that over, just the initials RBN payable, but mail that to Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And we greatly appreciate it, folks. Well, I pretty much went through this a segment with that, but it is important right now, especially, folks. I mean, you know, we really could use your help to, you know, get going into the new year and, you know, to get over the hump from that payment there. But, you know, more on this green agenda and other news on the other side. We always do want you to try to, you know, check out our sponsors, too. You know, we have a lot of great products you benefit from. Everyone benefits, you know, and be sure to use the respective user codes or what have you. So RBN, you know, gets helped out as well. But, I mean, you know, a lot of really cool products there. I know friends and family who've regularly been using quite a few of these. We'll be right back, folks. Stick around.
Are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after exercise. It's amazing, and I ordered my second bottle. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. So far, a great product is what it claims to be. Great product. A few days in, and I could feel a difference for certain. Not checking medical stats yet. I know this is really working by how I feel. We'll continue to take this product. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Back, folks, beyond the official narrative here on Republic Broadcasting. Richard Carey with Wednesday co-host David Scorpio. For real this time, getting back to the discussion. And yeah, no, I was mentioning they haven't built any more charging stations since they got more funding to expand the EV infrastructure. It's talking about the batteries, cold weather. Tesla is straight from Elon's knowledge at the top lied about, you know, how much charge they get, and you know, therefore the life of it before a charge. It could be very dangerous depending on your situation or how you're planning on using it, how much you think you have to get back from wherever you are. And you were going to add some other things about the scam regarding the batteries and everything. I mean, it costs more to replace than the car sometimes.
The battery packs cost around $23,000 to replace. So it's not as much as the car, but it's an exorbitant expense that most people aren't going to be able to pay. And keep in mind, the battery packs are only good for about 5 years. So they start to fail, or let's just say your mileage becomes far less after 4 years or so. So the efficiency of the car goes way down. And you know, the other problem is that, it, like you pointed out, in the cold weather, the batteries won't take the charge. It's just too cold for the battery to accept the charge. And there is these issues of these cars spontaneously combusting when they're charging or driving. It does happen, and you can't put the fire out with water. You know, the water actually makes the fire worse, as it adds hydrogen to the reaction and makes the reaction actually worse. So there's a lot of problems, and of course, the battery packs are not recyclable. Those all have to just go into a landfill. They're highly toxic. And basically, you know, they're using slave labor in Africa and in other third world countries to get the raw materials for that stuff. So it's a pretty ugly scene all the way around. And the other thing, you know, people realize, a lot of people realize, is all you're doing is taking the exhaust out of your tailpipe and putting it into a large power plant. So it's not like the exhaust goes away. It's just you're going to have more power plants if you're going to want to charge all these cars. And solar and wind aren't reliable sources of energy because you don't know when the wind's going to blow and the sun's only out 12 hours a day, or actually less, because the sun has to be at the right angle to actually get any real charge from the sun. There's only so many hours of the day where the sun is high up enough in the horizon. And if it's cloudy, you're not going to get much of a charge either. So there's a lot of problems that make those two sources simply not reliable. They never will be either.
It's ridiculous to even have to spend any significant amount of money or, you know, any money at all. I don't think seems so crazy, really, for fuel. I mean, we've had even a confirmation of a man who had a vehicle running off water. So, I mean, you know, there are so many.
Oh, yeah, several people have done that. Stanley Meyer was the most notable one. He was actually from San Diego, and he was poisoned at a restaurant. He was actually naive. He thought that he could actually sell the technology to the Pentagon and that they would, you know, use it for the good of mankind. Sadly, you know, that wasn't the case. He was assassinated. And there's quite a few, if you go on YouTube, there's quite a bit of footage of him, because when he was driving to Washington from San Diego, he would stop along the way and be interviewed by the local news crew who would, he'd open up the hood and show him the engine and the setup for the system. So he was not a con artist. He wasn't a scammer. And other people have done that too. And a lot of people that get involved in, you know, exotic technology like that end up dead or having very strange things happen to them. There really is sort of like this Men in Black kind of element that come in and neutralize these people. And oftentimes they're just simply scared. They're threatened. A lot of things happen to those types of people. So that is something they don't want in the paradigm of reality right now.
Yes. Yeah. No, I mean, it would be too easy for far more people to be self-sustaining, you know, if it weren't for the need for a source for most of their fuel and energy consumption from.
Well, and the other thing is, you know, oil and gas are constantly being produced within the earth. You know, the abiotic oil theory, there's a lot of evidence that says that that's true. And just like the idea of juvenile or primary water, that the reactions inside the earth are creating water and gas and oil all the time. So neither one of those two elements are scarce resources. And of course, you know, Russia tapped into the deepest wells in the world, and they have virtually an unlimited source of oil and petroleum right now because of it.
Yes, and I mean, most of these things, there's no reason with the sort of society we have at this point why it can't just all be free, why you should have to pay for bottled water if you don't have access to, you know, some sort of natural spring or something like I mentioned. And I mean, what, they have water you get locally with fluoride in it, and I mean, at this point, local water, I mean, there's so much contamination of freshwater lakes from companies.
There's contamination from the groundwater sources, and it's getting worse and worse. That's the other reason why the concept of primary water or juvenile water is so important, because that water is created new and it's fresh and it's not contaminated and it doesn't have radiation in it. There's another factor too, that a lot of water actually has been contaminated through low levels of radiation over time, whereas primary water does not have that. It doesn't have chemicals in it. You know, the chemtrail residues of, you know, aluminum and barium and all the other crap, God only knows what else they put in those things, all end up in our groundwater, and that's, you know, where most of the water comes from now, and that's actually the worst water to be drinking. And of course, bottled water is terrible because the plastics leach chemicals into the water, especially if the plastic is ever left out in the sun for any period of time. The reaction happens much faster than you get a lot of these plastic chemicals that are highly toxic and actually change the endocrine system and lead to all kinds of problems.
Yeah, and unfortunately, that's what I don't drink from the small bottles, but from, I get my water from like the big 5-gallon jugs, and still same thing you're talking about there, unfortunately. And there's different tier levels, it seems, to the control over water scarcity being engineered. I mean, when I moved to Florida last year, the summer of 2022, that would be, I wasn't previously aware that they have desalinization facilities here for all the fresh water that we have. Now, I wouldn't recommend drinking that tap water, of course. I don't. But they at least have it desalinated. I have to. But, of course, on your side of the nation, in California, for example, I mean, you don't even hear about that. Now, I still wonder, I mean, as far as giving it to plants and seeing things build up like on faucet bottoms and everything, I there's some weird something in it. If it's from the ocean, you know, maybe there's something that's not cleaned out too well on the micro level.
There's salt residues that are left in the desalinated water, but that make it difficult to use for agriculture long term because those salts build up in the soil. But as I understand it, some new improvements have come in the technology of desalinization. That's all fine and good, but that's why I think, you know, the information about the primary water is so important, because, you know, the guy that sort of, you know, started this technology, at least in modern times, I believe this knowledge was known in ancient times, but Stephen Rice, he drilled over 800 wells and tapped into primary water, and so he spent a lifetime doing this. He wasn't a charlatan, or he wasn't someone that told tall tales. He backed his words up with actions, and a lot of the wells that he drilled are still in use. Like, you know, the Sparklets water wells that were drilled in the 1930s that pump out, you know, hundreds of thousands of gallons of bottled water a day are from a primary water source drilled by Stephen Rice.
Just as one more example, and then there was recently a speaker at the Davos, and you know, she's getting all extreme. Let's see, I believe this was Davos. As I had this other story too, don't want to get him too confused, but it's just more of the same. You know, they don't want you to be self-sustaining. You have to have everything from them. And, you know, it's being described as just some of the most ridiculous gibberish. But, well, yeah, they say the most ridiculous 75 seconds from Davos yet, ecocide. And this woman, obviously, we're presuming at least, portraying as a lady who looks like she's not missed a meal in her life, explaining with no sense of irony or shame that farming the land, fishing for food, and worse, still making money, is now on par with mass murder or genocide. You know, Jojo Mehta. Seems like kind of a Jewy last name there. Founder of Stop Ecoside Now explains in her upper class English accent. I don't know, that last name again doesn't sound very English to me. To her ultra-rich peers in Davos that, quote, we have this cultural, very ingrained habit of not taking damage to nature as seriously as we take damage to people or property, unquote. Her goal is to have mass damage and destruction of nature legally recognized as a serious crime. Quote, with human rights, mass murder and genocide as serious crimes, but there is no equivalent in the environmental space, unquote. Here's another quote, too. Unlike an international crime like genocide that involves a specific intent, with ecocide, what we see is that people are trying to do is make money, is farm, is fish, is, and what's missing is an awareness of the side effects and collateral damage that happens. She can't even speak very well. These people are just evil. I mean, you know, they don't want anyone to be able to farm, to fish, to mine, certainly not to be able to do it. But I mean, they, you know, are these privileged, what do you call it? Kind of born into money for generations, you know, types. And it's just, yeah, the irony is just completely lost on them. The hypocrisy when these people speak at these events.
What you have at groups like the Davos World Economic Forum and the Bilderberg Group and some of these other clubs, what you essentially have is an oligarchy that is trying to create a system to where them and their families and their offspring will be in power in perpetuity. This has nothing to do with saving the world. This is about creating a system that they'll be in control of. And there's lots of solutions to economic and political and environmental problems that they don't want solutions outside of the ones that they have pre-packaged that are intended to keep themselves in power. That's really what this is all about.
I know, very well put. You know, very concise in that regard. And a lot of people we're hearing these days are a stress spending, doom spending. 27% of Americans are doom spending due to stress from things such as the economy and their finances. Just get a feedback loop there, of course, make things worse. And, well, I mean, let's see, we've been hearing talk of a government shutdown in 2024. Congress is running out of time to act, they're saying. I mean, I don't know. What are they trying to get us afraid of more? Because I don't really fear a global war with superpowers angle either. You know, but yeah, a government shutdown or the economy collapsing. I mean, I'm not someone who's going to be impacted on either side of this all that much. I mean, they can't have conditions where we can't afford to buy food, David.
Because I mean, it could come to that, but I don't think so, because then you're going to have an upheaval of power. If people get uncomfortable enough and in a bad enough state, that's when real revolutions actually happen. And they don't want that. They want a sort of this controlled collapse or a controlled decline. And I don't think we're heading for a world war just yet, because Joe Biden's not the guy that's going to be able to lead America into a real war. We're going to have a wartime president that's capable of making the sales pitch to the American people to make it look legitimate. And he's not the guy to do it. I don't believe so anyway. And so I think that's down the line. I don't think it's impossible, but I don't think we're there yet in terms of a real world war. All this talk of the war in the Middle East, you know, expanding, I think it's a lot of hype to divert people away from the fact that Israel is simply slaughtering civilians. There's no war going on. They're just dropping bombs on men, women, and children without any remorse or care. It's not a war. And I don't believe it's going to expand. I mean, just because the Houthis, I think this is another, this sounds to me a lot like ISIS, this ragtag group of rebels that somehow is just out of control. We can't stop them. I don't believe that for a minute. I think this is a scripted little condition going on here. And it's the whole point is to divert the attention away from what's going on in Gaza right now. And what the plan is, as I was talking about on my show, they're planning on, they're actually unveiling Eretz Israel. They're actually openly talking about it for the first time. I first learned about Eretz Israel in 1989. And back then it was a conspiracy theory, you know, an anti-Semitic canard. It's not real. But now they're actually talking about how they're going to expand the borders of Israel to the biblical borders of Israel. That's being openly talked about now.
From the Nile to the Euphrates.
Yes, that's what the two blue lines on the flag are. That's not just two blue lines. That's what they represent. So it's been the plan since 1948. And this this October 7 massacre, which I don't believe was nearly as bad as they say, and there's a lot of evidence that the Israelis actually inflicted a lot of that upon themselves on purpose. But I don't believe the numbers, and I don't believe that as many people as they claim were kidnapped either, because now they're actually saying, well, it looks like a lot of the kidnappees have been killed in the bombing, so they're not going to have to reunite or show these people on television. So I don't think it happened to begin with, quite frankly. And this is all just a show so they could have the justification of doing what they had planned on doing, which is getting rid of all the Palestinians, shipping them off to or through the border in Egypt, and then getting Western countries to take them in. But it's not going to be that easy because most of the Palestinians don't want to leave because they have claim to properties that were stolen from them either in 1948 or the early 50s or the 60s. They actually have the title to their property and actually have claims in international court for the right of return to get their property back.
Isn't it, as far as some of, well, I mean, we have more from a lot of places in the Middle East that are being referred to as Iran-backed to some degree or another. In general, I don't see them getting their major war with Iran in a way of regime change as much as they might want it. And I think that was the real hope, that on Netanyahu's watch, they'd be able to have regime change in Iran for, you know, to help usher in the Eurasian shift era. and of course, yeah, the second homeland of the Jewish people in Ukraine being birthed here. But I think I remember looking on a map at where the Euphrates is one time a while back. And I mean, so going from the Nile down in Africa to the Euphrates, up there, I don't think it would necessarily mean that you had to get rid of Iran, but it would just be a lot more land for Israel, right?
No, if you look at the map, you can actually go online and look at the map of Eretz Israel. There's plenty of pictures of it. It does include a very small portion of southern Iran. It's not a big piece, but it's pretty much all of Jordan, all of Syria, almost all of Lebanon, Saudi Arabia, and a piece of Egypt, too. That's pretty much what it is.
Well, it is a portion of Iran, as it currently is. Okay, so...
Yeah, a small little sliver out of the southern portion of the country. And don't forget, you know, there's a large Jewish community in Iran. They don't ever talk about this, but there's lots of Jews in Iran still, to this day. They have their own community there, and apparently no one's bothering them because they aren't, you know... They tried to get a lot of them to leave and go to Israel, but a lot of them have stayed. So, you know, things aren't as they appear. Things aren't as cut and dry as they want us to think they are.
Yeah, and we kind of pivoted from economy to war, a fear, but they'd like to pivot between those and the artificial scarcity of you know, the green agenda thrown in. well, quite a few things really thrown in, you know, I mean, pandemics and immigrants, but we're hearing about a $20 trillion debt tsunami. You know, that's coming on top of everything we've already been dealing with. And of course, you know, the shift in the value of our spending power hasn't quite kicked in yet from the money printing. We're still going to see more effects of that in the next 1 to 2 years, unfortunately.
Oh, well, there's no stopping the inflation. That's out of their control. And that's why they're so eager to try to get new countries like Argentina to take the dollar on and try to spread the inflation out throughout the world so it's not as noticeable. That's been the strategy for a long time. But the inflation, there's no stopping it. And you know, they say inflation is down, but they're not explaining what it really, all it really means is the rate of increase in inflation is down, not inflation itself. You know, we haven't gone in reverse. Prices haven't started falling. It's just the rate of the rate of increase of inflation has slowed down, but we're still at, I would estimate, 20% inflation, 25%, and even higher in certain sectors. So, and that there's no stopping that. That's going to continue and eat away at people's value and ability to, you know, pay their bills and live a standard middle class life.
And we'll continue getting to some more topics on the other side in hour two. Oh, and to listeners, one more thing about the donations. Please call the office, and Mike Sladicek, the owner, Mossad Mike, will take the call for anything the listener can offer. Oh, we got a gift from an Alex. So thank you to Alex. Again, if people want to call in to donate, 800-724-2719 extension 3. I'll say that one more time. 800-724-2719 extension 3. We'll be back for hour 2. Stick around.
John, I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.